Daya. In your Bibles. After Daniel, kind of one of the minor prophets, if you get to Joel and Amos and Micah, back up. You missed it. But it's not that minor of a prophet. It's got 14 chapters in it. But we're going to be in chapter 13. It's after Daniel. Hosea chapter 13 and verse 14. Prophecy is through the whole Bible. How it has been fulfilled to the letter exactly through all ages. That is one of the great truths about the inspiration of the Scriptures and the preservation of the Scriptures, that they are exactly right down to every jot and tittle, as Jesus said. Now in Hosea, one of the prophets of God, chapter 13 and verse 14. 13, 14 and Hosea. And after we read this, don't put your Bibles away, because we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 later on. Okay, Hosea 13, 14. I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Let's pray. Dear Jesus, we just thank you for these wonderful promises, these wonderful prophecies, and the immaculate and the wonderful and amazing fulfillment of all of these in the Word of God. And now, God, let us uplift your Son. Let us give glory to Jesus. Let us see death and the grave and the victory that you've given us, our ransom and our redemption. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. This verse has so much in it. Now, we're going to start at the ending so that you don't get distracted. So you won't have, so get that out of your mind, so we go up to the beginning of the verse. But the end of the verse, it says, repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. Now, that is not referring to the repentant sinner. Repentance is a change of direction, a change of motivation, a change of goal. It's a goal, like a goal you're going to make. It's a 180-degree turn. Well, what God is saying here, He is not going to repent of this decision. God is not going to change His mind. Repentance is hid from mine eyes about God changing His mind. God said this is the way it's going to be, and that is the way it's going to be because God said that's the way it's going to be. And when God says something, it's just as well done because it cannot be changed, nullified, done away with, amended, or anything, because what God says, that is the way it will be. And that's what He's saying here. I will not repent of this decision. Now, two words in here that we are familiar with a little bit. Ransom and redeem. Now, the ransom is from the power of the grave. The redeem is from death. So we've got to take one of these one at a time. Ransom them from the power of the grave. Some people, in some people's lives, the grave has power over them. Other people, the grave does not have power over them. But they're all going to die. But some are under the power of that grave, and some are not. A grave is in the ground, buried, put away, covered up with dirt, done. Why? No life, dead. But the word is used ransom. From the power of the grave. Not ransom from the grave. Because this old body is still going to go to the grave because it's rotten. Your soul. Now, from the power of the grave, ransom. Now, a ransom is something you pay to get something back that's been taken from you. Stolen. You know, they're always hijacking or ransoming some ship or somebody or something or other. They're doing a lot of that down in Mexico, ransoming people to get money from them and different things like that. How they threaten people and things. In a dictionary, the money or price paid for the redemption of a prisoner or a slave. Restore the one to liberty or to the original owner. Ransom. Somebody gets kidnapped. You pay the ransom money and you bring them back to the original owner, the one they belong to. The grave has power. From the moment you are born, you start getting closer and closer to the grave. Some of us are getting a little closer than we was in the past, you know? You know, birthdays and things like that. But you see, God wants you to live. Remember Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden? They sinned. Why did God kick them out of the garden? Because they sinned. And another reason was, that's where the tree of life was. So they couldn't get to the tree of life and live forever with their sin. And what was the curse? One of the curses he gave Adam? From the dust you came. From the dust you're going to return. Remember in Genesis 2:7, God breathed life into man, and man became a living soul as he formed him out of the dirt. Everything in your body could be found in the dirt. If it wasn't for the Holy Spirit, or if it wasn't for the life that God put in you, you wouldn't be nothing but a sack of dirt. Because that's what we're made from. And Adam's curse, because of the sin, was to go back to the dirt that he came from. The grave. The grave. Ransom. Ransom from the power of the grave. You, me, humanity has been kidnapped by sin. You are a prisoner to sin. Locked up and bound up by sin. You are a prisoner. You are a slave to sin. Jesus said, who you serve, that's your master. Well, I'm not a slave to that. Well, you just try and stop sinning and find out. The ransom Jesus paid to buy back his property goes back to the original owner. To buy back life, to buy back victory over the grave, had to be death. Had to be death. Why are we slaves to the grave? Because we're sinners. Because that's where each and every one of us deserves to go. Because we are not holy in our own selves. We are not righteous in our own selves. There's no reason that any of us should be allowed to go to heaven. We are slaves. We are bound up by the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eye and the pride of life. We are bound by those. We are prisoners, locked up in Satan's stronghold. But the only way is to be ransomed out. Because the due has to be paid. The ransom has to be paid. The wages of sin is death. It has to be paid. God's law has to be kept. It has to be paid. There is no escape from the law of God. You can't get another judge or another lawyer or anything else. There is no way to escape the laws of God. And by the laws of God, we are all guilty. We are all under the power of the grave. And we all are servants and slaves to Satan. And the only way to be redeemed is by ransom. Pay the ransom. What it cost is life. That's what it cost. But one prisoner can't redeem another prisoner. It has to be someone that's free. And Jesus says, I will pay their ransom. I will pay what is due. And he became. And he went to the grave. Now, the next phrase of this is, redeemed them from death. Now, redeem is kind of like ransom, but it's to rescue or to recover, to deliver from, to obtain or to purchase. Kind of like a pawn ticket, redeem, bought back. Made free by making an atonement. To pay the penalty of. To save. To deliver from the bondage of sin and the penalties of God's violated law. Which we violated. So. Blood of Jesus. The grave is a place of trash and destruction and death and going back to the dirt. Going back to the dirt. But death, you know, one of the things that we as human beings try to do is when somebody dies, make them look like they're alive. And they do so many things to preserve that body to stop the decay. Which was prophesied back to the dirt. I mean, the coffins have rubber seals on them, stainless steel, all kinds of things. Then they put them in a vault, either made out of plastic or cement or anything else, to put the coffin inside of that. So many things. Trying to change the laws of God. But you know, I found out they make a coffin out of just plain pine wood with rope handles. Nothing inside of it, just a square rectangle box. It's because it's eco-friendly. No, it's God's plan. And that's what they're not expensive either. Just about anybody can make one. I think they sell for $600. That might not be a bad business to. But anyway, getting off the subject here. But listen, hey, before all of that took place, every nationality of people has tried to figure out some way to get someone into the extra next life. A lot of the Indian tribes bury the horse with the person. Bury him with corn and money and weapons and all those things. The Egyptians preserved the body and the parts of it and did all that embalming and all those things. Do you know what they saved? They saved the pretty things. You know, when you, the liver and those kind of things, the shiny parts of the body. The brain, it was kind of ucky and gray. They didn't figure that was important, so they sucked that out and filled your head with cotton. You know, or stuffed it with something, you know. Up through the nose, they did all that stuff. Because they didn't figure that part was important. But they saved the shiny things in little earthen jars and, you know, kind of preserved them, you know. But anyway, trying to get them into the next life. They're trying to ransom and redeem. Ransom from the grave and redeem them from death. They're trying all of these fancy ways. Where are the pharaohs at today? Some museum. Don't look anything like they was when they put them in there. I spent a lot of money trying to get that way. Anyway, now, Jesus said, now this is this is a prophecy of God about Jesus. So he's saying, I'm going to do this. O death, I will be thy plagues. Now a plague is something that comes in and destroys something else. Jesus is going to come in and be a plague to death. And he's going to come in and he's going to be the destruction of the grave. There will be a time in history when there will be no graves on this earth. No graves. Nowhere. From all of time. From all of time. All graves will be no more. Christians at the resurrection, at the rapture. The lost at the great white throne of judgment. There will be a time on this earth that there will be no more graves anywhere. From the 1600s to the year 1 to BC, they're all going to be gone. He is going to destroy all graves. Because they're going to be opened up. Those that are saved unto heaven, those that are not, under the great white throne of judgment, where they're cast in the lake of fire with death and hell, which is the second death. And at that point in the book of Revelation, there will be no more death forever anywhere in the universe. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I want to show you something here. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. The whole chapter is about resurrection. Excellent chapter to read. Excellent chapter to study. But listen. In 1 Corinthians 15, 28. 26, I'm sorry, 26. 1 Corinthians 15, 26. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. There has been death since Adam. There was death through the first Adam, as one of these songs talked about. The second Adam, which was Jesus Christ, made in the likeness of Adam, it says. The first Adam brought physical life. The second Adam brought spiritual life. A whole other lesson there. But there was death all the way since Adam. All the way through the patriarchs, through the Old Testament. There was death all the way through the New Testament. During the book of Acts, when the church was being spread, there was death all through there. after the rapture takes place and the people are taken out and the judgment of God starts upon this world, known as the tribulation time, there will be death during that time. There will be death on this earth until Revelation chapter 20. Turn with me there. Turn with me there. Well, we're going to come back to Corinthians in a minute. I mean, I'm using a lot of verses for a sermon, but this is just so neat. We're going to come back to 1 Corinthians 15, so don't lose that spot. But anyway, in Revelation chapter 20, and this is, if those of you that know what I'm talking about, this is after all the tribulation time. This is after the millennial reign of Christ. And this is what is known as a great white throne of judgment. And death and hell and all the ones that were not raptured, all the lost people, they come and they stand before Jesus on the throne of God as the judge. And the books, plural, are opened. And they are judged by all the things they've done in this world for the degrees of hell. Then another book is opened, which is the Lamb's Book of Life. And their name is searched for in that book. Verse 12 of Revelation 20. Well, verse 11. And I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 12. And I saw the dead and the small and the great stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which are in it. Death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works for the degrees of hell. And death and hell, here it is, death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So why the judgment out of the books of works if they're going to be cast in the lake of fire anyway? Because there's different degrees of punishment in hell as there is different degrees of rewards in heaven. But anyway, after this point in time, no more death. Forever. For eternity. No more death from this point on. Because death and hell are cast into the lake of fire. Hell is kind of a holding place, which is a terrible place, until this time. And then all of hell is cast into a lake of fire. This lake of fire is a spiritual and a physical place both. Right now, the people in hell, it's a spiritual place because their bodies are in the grave. The rich man was buried and in his eyes, in hell, lifted up his eyes being in torment. Hell right now is a spiritual place where the souls of the lost are. But someday they're going to be reunited with the corrupt bodies, stand before Jesus in the presence of life, Jesus, the giver of life, and they're going to be judged by their works for what degrees of punishment they're going to face for the rest of time. And then if they're not found written in the Lamb's Book of Life, then they're cast into the lake of fire with death and hell. As they have a body and soul back together, as we have already had up to this point as Christians at the rapture. No more graves anywhere at all. No more graves. No more. None. Not in existence anywhere. And no more death after this point. Forever. Forever. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Told you, I told you to save that spot. All right. 1 Corinthians 15. 55. Well, 54. I mean, it's so much, it's hard to figure out where to start here. In 54. 1 Corinthians 15, 54. So when this corruption shall I put on incorruption, and this mortal shall I put on immortality, then shall be brought past the saying, death is swallowed up in victory. Does that remind you of Hosea? O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the sin is the law, because that shows us we're sinners. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I will ransom them from the grave. I will redeem them from death. I will be death's plague. I will be the grave's destruction. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. The grave has no more power over us. As a Christian, death has no more sting to a Christian. Death is not a fearful thing for a Christian. Now, we don't want to hurt, you know, we want to go out nice and easy in our sleep or something, you know. But listen, it's not something to fear. Remember the old joke that says, why do they have gates at the cemetery? Because everybody's dying to get in there. You know, hey, that's how is she going to get to heaven unless the Lord blows his trumpet? Through the grave. In Hebrews, Jesus went through death. Do you, in your life, know that you have victory over the grave and over death? Do you know that in your life? Are you positive about that in your life? Do you know that when it comes time for you to die, without exception, without even just a faint shadow of a doubt, that you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you will see Jesus? Do you know that? Are you positive about that? Are you certain about that? It's not a maybe or a hope so or I think so or I'm not sure about or probably. Hey, that's no way to step off into the grave on a hope so, maybe so, or think so. God doesn't work that way. God wants you to know. 1 John 5:13, these things are written so that you might know. He wants you to know these things. You have to know it. Because otherwise, the grave has you. And death has you. And there is no escape. You cannot nullify God's laws. We will all stand before Jesus Christ, the perfect, all-seeing, all-knowing God. And the judge, you're going to stand before a judge that knows everything about you. Even what you thought about doing, the thoughts and intentions of your heart. He knows everything about you. And that's who we're all going to stand in front of. Is a judge like that. And what's going to happen? So, well, we did this and we did that. We did this in your name. He says, depart from me. I never knew you. It's not about what you've done. It's not about church, religion, or anything you've done. Because there's nothing you can do to erase the sin. It's there. It's there. It's indelibly in your life. There's nothing you can do about it. That sin has to be paid for. We are guilty, and that has to be paid for. That has to be paid for. You're not going to get by with, oh God, you know, just give me another chance. No. It has to be paid for. That's where Jesus came in as the Redeemer and the Ransom. I will stand in their place. I will stand in their place. God's wrath has to be, because we broke the law. The law is kept. It's perfect. It's God's law. Jesus says, I will keep the law for them. I will keep it for them. So Jesus stood in my place and took what I had come into me. As it says in 1 John 2:2, for the sins of all the world. Well, then why isn't everybody saved if he died for all the sins of the whole world? He said on the cross, it's finished. Why isn't everybody saved? I've had people ask me that. There's a gift. There's a gift. You going to take it? It's a gift. You going to take it? It's free. It's already been paid for. All it's going to cost you is your old lifestyle, your old ways, your old thoughts. You going to take it? I do just reach out and take it. I did everything for you. He sent the Holy Spirit to knock on your heart. He done everything for you. When he said it's finished, he says, I've done it all. There's nothing that you have to do. All you have to do is accept my gift. Know that you need it. Know that he has it. And want it and ask for it and take it. And let him change your life. Well, I like the way I am. I like the way things are. I don't want to change anything. It's going all right. Is it? Is it really? Who are you being honest with? Who are you lying to? Is what you're trusting good enough to take you through the grave? The 23rd Psalm, through the valley of the shadow. Is it a shadow or is it a fear? Which is it? Well, I've always believed this, or I've always done that, or I always thought this. Well, is it in the Bible? Well, I don't know. It's what I've always been taught. Where's it at in the Bible? Well, that's what somebody told me. Where's it at in the Bible? Has your plan been tried, tested, and proven? God's has. God's has. You know why I know it works? Because the tomb's empty. The cross is empty. I know it works. He is the only person that is a Savior, that claims to be a Savior anyway, but is the real Savior, that is alive today himself, flesh and bone in heaven. No one else is there except for Jesus. I know it works. Because I know something's alive in my soul. I know something's alive in my soul. If it's left up to me, I'd blow it. That's why God says it's finished. But it's your call. It's your choice. The victory is there. The last verse in 1 Corinthians 15 says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. That's for Christians. Don't quit. Keep on keeping on and staying with the truth. Let's stand to our feet. We're going to have a time of invitation as we invite people to meet Jesus. Jesus is real. Jesus is alive. Got an old song, an old 33 and a third record. It says, if God's dead, who's this living in my soul? Dear Jesus, we ask that you'll take this time, God, that you'll take these wonderful prophecies and promises that have been fulfilled and the ones that we're waiting on to be fulfilled yet. And God, what a day that will be when there will be no more graves and there will be no more death. And Jesus, if there's one here that is not saved, that your Spirit will convict them, that your Spirit will touch their souls, and this will be the day that they get it right. We ask this in Jesus' name.